Get ready to be mesmerized. Get ready to be entertained. Get ready to be informed. And most of all, get ready to listen. The latest sports news, great interviews, and the best coverage from around the nation's capital. It's Listen In with KNN, the sports sound of the district, right now on AM 1340 and 96.9 FM, Fox Sports Radio. Here's your host, Kelsey Nicole Nelson.
All right, it's time to get into sports talk around the DMV and beyond, as I am glad to welcome the listening audience to Listen In with KNN Sports Talk radio show and podcast presented by Fox Sports Radio 96.9 FM and 1340 AM. This week, we are kicking off two special episodes after a brief hiatus, as I was on work vacation last week, by highlighting women this week who are doing it big in sports with a doubleheader. So our last show featured the one and only Tierra Brown, police officer extraordinaire and professional boxer. And we'll begin today's show with special guest, award-winning journalist Lisa Guerrero. If you are a sports journalist, you know her work. And also, if you like investigative journalism, she's a journalist, keynote speaker, MC, host, actress, and much, much more. Yes, a lady with many titles. And with that, it means it's time to sit back, relax, and get ready to listen in and follow along with the conversation using hashtag ListenInWithKNN.
It's time to recognize those individuals that are doing good in the community and making a difference in the sports world. Without further ado, Kelsey presents this week's Do Good Sportsperson Award nominee.
All right, it's time for my Kelsey's Do Good Sports Athlete of the Week. And this week, I am excited to honor none other than retired NFL player Chris Long. If you watched the recent ESPYs, you know exactly why, and especially if you have followed his career. Shout out to Philly! Still can't believe he's retired. Gave so much to the game of football. 11-year NFL career, also including two Super Bowls and the Walter Payton NFL Man of the Year Award. But he recently was honored with the Muhammad Ali Sports Humanitarian Award. And if you know Chris Long's work, you know he received this for his commitment to giving back through strategic, multifaceted efforts which attached the larger systematic issues. Chris Long in 2017, if you guys remember, donated his entire salary to benefit educational equality, which is something I long have pushed for. He encouraged his fans to join him in the effort. He raised $1.75 million, you guys, to support St. Louis, Boston, and Philadelphia, which are cities in which he played during his NFL career. He also had a Water Boys program that helped more than 225,000 people in East Africa gain access to clean drinking water by building more than 61 water wells today. Just think about that. There are some people who still don't have clean water. He realized that and gave back. The work goes on and on, but Chris Long, I am excited that you got honored once again, and I'm also excited to honor you here on my Kelsey's Do Good Sports Athlete of the Week segment. Please continue to keep up the great work. I'm excited to see what continues to await you in retirement. All right, that'll do it for this segment. Stay tuned. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back.
Looking for winning sports picks and predictions? Since 1971, Dot Sports has been recognized as one of the most trusted names in the sports handicapping industry. For the listeners of this very show, Dot Sports is giving out $60 worth of their premium member picks for free. These are the exact same premium member picks that 1,000 of their current members pay for. And guess what? You get them for free. Just text the word radio to the number 29022. Text radio to the number 29022 for instant access. Doc Sports also provides free picks on every single game. You want NBA picks? Simply Google search Doc's NBA picks. NHL picks? Google search Doc's NHL picks. Need MLB picks? Google search Doc's MLB picks. Remember to text the word radio to the number 29022 and start winning today with Doc Sports Service.
Welcome back to Listen In with KNN, the sports town of the district and beyond, where it's now time to get back into our show and welcome in our very, very special guest today, Miss Lisa Guerrero. Lisa, how are you?
Good. I'm great, Kelsey. How are you?
I am wonderful. It's always awesome and amazing to have a fellow woman journalist on the show, especially one as amazing as you. So thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
It is a pleasure. I know you are super busy, but before I get into your background, Lisa, I will let you kind of talk about yourself and what have you been up to lately?
Well, for the last 10 years, I've been the chief investigative correspondent for Inside Edition, which basically is a fancy title for chasing bad guys. So I cover yeah. scams and crime and assaults and murder, cold cases, and consumer reports. So anything that's got the investigative journalism label on it, which is kind of a big umbrella, that's what I cover. I've been with Inside Edition since 2006. Before I was with Inside Edition, I spent over a decade as a sportscaster, starting at CBS2 in Los Angeles in the 90s, through Fox 11 in Los Angeles, and then Fox mm-hmm. Sports Net. Best Damn Sports Show and Sports Geniuses and Tough Man, a bunch of shows on Fox, of course, culminating with Best Damn Sports Show. And finally, I was a sideline reporter for Monday Night Football in 2004. And additionally, I had been an actress going back to when I was 16 years old. I've been in dozens of TV shows and films. And I was a Rams cheerleader in the 80s and then went on to be the cheerleader director and choreographer for the Patriots and the Falcons. So 10 years on the sidelines doing entertainment for the NFL. So I've had a really busy career. I have not had very many days off.
You are truly amazing doing so much. And you guys, that's still not all of her bio. She was very humble and very modest. You've done so much. I mean, you've guest co-hosted The View. You've been a special correspondent for Dr. Phil and Dr. Oz. I mean, you've interviewed top name athletes, including Alex Rodriguez, Kobe Bryant, Brett Favre, Mia Hamm. I mean, the list goes on and on and on, and that's why we're so excited to have you. You talk about your career as an investigative journalist. Really quick, can you kind of describe that transition from being a sports reporter and sideline reporter to getting kind of the nitty-gritty and, you know, really having to ask those really tough, hard questions and confronting people?
Yeah, you know, investigative reporting is you know, I think, probably the most difficult niche or genre of being a storyteller or a reporter. It's really difficult for two reasons. Number one, you are dealing with interviewing victims at the most difficult parts of their lives. You know, many people have lost their life savings or their home or a loved one. And part of my job is to interview victims and to really get their stories out. And then to do research and interview experts about whatever the landscape is for that particular crime or scam. Mm-hmm. And finally, you know, one of the most difficult parts of what I do is, of course, confronting the bad guy. Right. You know, doing an unscheduled interview with, you know, somebody that's been accused of murder or a sexual assault or a scam of some kind. And normally they're not pleased to see me. So they can either run or get chippy with me, get physical with me. I mean, I've had people hit me with a car, pull out a gun, death threats, rape threats. So it's definitely, in my opinion, the most difficult genre of journalism. And I've done everything from sports to breaking news to entertainment news. Mm-hmm. And I've written and produced and have been on camera. So this is definitely the hardest. It's also the most rewarding by far. I love doing sports, and I'm still a huge sports fan. But mm-hmm. you know, doing sports was like working to me, like in the toy department. It was fun every day, and it was even if it was tough. You know, I would do sit down interviews with Barry Bonds or Gary Sheffield or Randy Johnson or you know, Terrell Owens when he wasn't talking mm-hmm. to the media, or you know, difficult athletes. Facing difficult questions. I made Dennis Rodman cry in my very first press conference. So I've dealt with difficult athletes and I've dealt with difficult, you know, interviews, but there's really nothing that can compare with covering, you know, serious crime. And I feel like, you know, we've been able to shine the spotlight on everything from child labor in America to scams and crimes and cold cases. So I'm really glad that I ended up where I ended up. But I don't think I would have ended up here had I not spent a decade covering sports as, for the most part, the only woman in the locker rooms that I covered. It really created somebody that had to develop a thick skin because I dealt with a lot of misogyny and, you know, and hate from either you know, male viewers that didn't think women should be covering sports, to players themselves that were inappropriate in locker rooms. So, I mean, again, this is decades ago. Now, you know, almost every single, you know, local station or network employs many female sports journalists. But back in the day, I was the only one. Like I said, in almost every single locker room I covered. So it was very difficult.
And saying that, Lisa, do you think we are where we need to be with women in sports media? Like, yes, I know we have the world of Doris Burks and Carrie Champions and so on and so on. I mean, but do you think we're where we need to be quota-wise for women in sports media?
Well, you know, you can look at it two ways. You can look at it from the perspective of, you know, as I just mentioned, almost every single network and station is now obligated to have at least one female sports journalist on their staff. So that's a huge difference than just two decades ago. I mean, an enormous difference. So that's big and that's positive and that's great. And more men are really comfortable hearing about women talking about sports. You've got male listeners and male viewers. You know, it's become much more commonplace for men to be accepting of women covering sports. At the same time, you know, are female sports journalists paid, you know, the same as their male colleagues? I don't think they are. And most evidence would suggest that, you know, female athletes aren't paid at the same rate that male athletes are, even if their sports garner the same viewership or sponsorship money or game day signage income, for example. So, you know, no, we're not where we need to be, but we're getting a lot closer. And I, you know, one of the things I always think about are all of my great guy friends that have daughters that are sports fans, and they want their daughters to have as many opportunities either playing sports or talking about sports or covering sports as a journalist someday, perhaps, than a guy, you know, than their son would have. So I think a lot of guys now are really personalizing our stories, where I used to feel like it's me talking to a group of guys that don't get it. Now I feel like guys completely get it because they have daughters and wives and sisters and friends that are women that also love sports. So I think we're going in the right direction for sure, Kelsey.
Yeah, I'm like you. I think it's positive and it's looking up. And like you said, we still have work to go, but there has been progress made. So very excited about that and the future of women in sports. And that being said, since we touched on the topic, of course, we just had the FIFA World Cup, which we're still celebrating the women's Team USA win. What exciting, fun videos they had in their locker room, keeping us all in our seats. I'm very excited they made it back home. I feel good part of celebration watching those videos. So much fun. So glad to see them doing that. But that being said, it did bring up an important topic where we talked about the pay disparity that a lot of female athletes face, I mean, beyond media. And saying that to say so, according to a report, the U.S. women's national team will earn about $250,000 each for winning the World Cup, while the U.S. men's national team would earn about $1.1 million if they were to win their World Cup. And the prize money for this year's 2019 Women's World Cup was $30 million versus $400 million for the 2018 Men's World Cup. Just kind of curious, Lisa, to hear your thoughts on any way, if possible, we could kind of start to at least close that gap, even if it's just a little, as we see our women's team is just so magnificent. It seems year after year this happens. Even if the men's team is good or bad, they still continue to bring in the dollars when it comes to getting paid.
Congratulations, America. You're already helping close this pay disparity because people are writing about it. People are outraged about it on social media. There are opinion pieces being released in every major newspaper across the country. People are tweeting about it. People are posting on Facebook and Instagram about it. It's you. It's you as the sports consumer and the sports fan that is going to drive the conversation. I say this all the time. When I used to be on a show called Best Damn Sports Show, period, I used to constantly say that it's the fan that gets to drive these conversations and that can put the pressure on owners or on players or on networks. Look, you are the person that they are playing for, that they are building stadiums for, that they are trading players to entertain. It is you that are paying the money for the tickets, for parking, for hot dogs, for beer. You are the one that are sitting in front of the TV watching the commercials. It's you. This is about the sports fan. So the more outraged a sports fan can be about anything that they see that's unfair, that they feel is inequitable, whether it's social justice, whether it's racial issues, whether it's domestic violence, whatever it is, you have a voice, and that voice is called social media. And that's been the big game changer in sports for the last decade. Because when I was covering sports in the 90s, and then when I was on Best Damn Sports Show and Tough Man and Sports Geniuses and Southern California Sports Report, Rocky Mountain Sports Report, when I'm doing all of that work, there wasn't a voice for fans like there is today. And if you as a fan aren't making your feelings vocal, then that's on you, brother and sister. What I'm saying is it's up to you to change the landscape, because the media can only do so much, right? And one individual player has a huge voice. But you know what?
Right.
Once in a while, it comes down to fans and owners and general managers and CEOs of companies that sponsor these leagues and these teams look at their social media feeds. Okay, and if you are upset about something, if you see unfairness, let yourself be heard. You know, you can't sit there on a couch anymore and say, oh, nobody listens to me, nobody cares about me. No, they care about you and they care about what you think. They used to only care about ratings, right? You only used to matter in terms of if you had a Nielsen ratings box, right? And if you had something to do with ratings, then you were kind of important, but nobody else was. That has changed. That ship has sailed. Now everybody has a voice. So I would really encourage people to make their voice be heard.
I like that. And like you said, we're all a part of the conversation now. And a lot of stuff that occurs on social media kind of becomes mainstream. And then we're all talking about it even more. Like you said, media can start it, but we have to continue that conversation. And Lisa, I have to say, just hearing your passion behind what you're saying excites me. So saying that to say, I'm just kind of interested in who kind of were your trailblazers, or what journalists did you look up to before you entered the field?
When I was growing up, this is really funny, because when I was in my teens and even preteens, you know, I was a really big sports fan. My mom died when I was little and my dad raised me, and he was a sports fan. And he didn't ever tell me that girls couldn't play football, for example. So I always thought, you know, at least for a period of time, I thought I was going to be a professional football player. I thought I was going to be a quarterback because I could throw really well.
Wow.
And I had developed, you know, taller, and I was more coordinated than a lot of guys, and my arms were longer, my fingers were longer. I was able to control a football. So I was a far more talented thrower of a football than other boys were my age. And I'm talking about, you know, 12 years old-ish.
Yeah.
And then I got into baseball, and I was able to play for space really well. I had the long arms and the long legs. I could field like nobody's business. I was a good pitcher. You know, so I didn't really know that I couldn't be an athlete, because my dad never told me I couldn't. So really, my dad was my first mentor and person that encouraged me. And then in terms of people in the media that I looked up to, it was always men, because it was only men that were covering sports back then. I do remember Jane Kennedy, but I don't remember her as having an authoritative voice. I remember them kind of saying, you know, here's our gorgeous, you know, correspondent. And I remember she would do features and just thinking she was beautiful, but I didn't see anybody arguing sports topics with men. In fact, some people said that I was the first person to do that on a national scale on the Best Damn Sports Show, period, because that was a daily show. It was live in front of an audience. And we always used to talk about whatever the sports topic of the day was up front in our A block. And for a lot of young girls, that was the first time they ever saw a woman argue about sports with men. And by men, I mean, you know, Tom Arnold, Chris Rose. Chris was our host. And then we had all professional athletes. It was Michael Irvin. It was, you know, John Kruk. It was John Sally. You know, there were different athletes that they kind of rotated in. But it was always like five or six or seven guys against me. And I would study so hard. I was really into sports, and I felt like I held my own. But I think for a lot of people, they weren't used to seeing women arguing about sports. Maybe they saw women presenting sports in a very feature-esque way. But there, I don't remember being, you know, bowled over going, wow, I want to do that job. When I was a Rams cheerleader, when I was cheering on the sidelines with the other cheerleaders, I would see the male sideline reporters. And I remember telling the cheerleader next to me, someday I want to do that. I want to be a sports reporter. And she laughed at me. She's like, there's no girl sideline reporters. And at the time there weren't, you know, in the 80s, 1982. So,
right.
You know, this is kind of a sad story, right? I don't remember having female mentors or female role models that I looked up to. And I kind of just forged my own way and made it up as I went along.
And I'm glad you said that, because like you said, I mean, you couldn't, it was hard for you to visualize what you didn't see is what I'm hearing you say. And saying that to say, I'm curious, so today I feel like a lot of women get kind of placed into the moderator kind of type of roles and things like that. And some are saying, well, they're not being put there to offer their commentary. So just kind of curious to hear your thoughts more on that. I'm talking about shows, of course, like First Take is probably one of the most obvious ones, but there's many more like that. You know, where I personally would like to see women have more of a role and a voice than just moderating the men's conversation.
You know, that's still hard because, again, I'm going to go back to my experience on Best Damn. Every time I would get into a sports argument with ex-professional athletes and Chris Rose and Tom Arnold, I had an executive producer that would come up to me after the show and said, you know, can you just smile more? And maybe can you wear shorter skirts? And they actually positioned me, you know, in the pilot show, I was in the center. But by the time we went to air, they put me on the far right so that people could see my legs, because in the center I was covered by a coffee table. So they wanted to see my legs. So I was constantly told, you know, argue less, smile more, wear shorter skirts. So I was on the weird position of obviously wanting to keep my job. So up to a certain point, okay, I'll wear the short skirts, but I'm not going to stop arguing about sports. Here we are 20, 30 years later, where you still don't see a lot of women in the position of really having spirited debates about the topic of the day, because I think it makes some producers uncomfortable, some viewers uncomfortable. But I think that's becoming less the case because there are more female sports fans and more female sports ticket buyers in sports. You know, they're used to, I think when I started out, 37% of the people that bought tickets for the NFL were women. Now it's up to like 49%, like almost half of the ticket buyers are women, which is insane.
Right.
And when you look at the commercials that are being sold in sports events, you know, that whether it's a Super Bowl or NBA Finals, you'll see more and more of an attempt by advertisers to reach out to the female demographic. Because that's your one demographic that's still growing. They know that guys are already going to buy Coors Light or, you know, are interested in their car commercials or beer commercials. But what they're trying to do now is to extend an olive branch to women. That's changing as well.
And like you said, I think it is. It's starting to change. But like you said, I think people do have to realize that there might be a reason that we're not seeing it as much. But I'm hoping that as, you know, society advances, that we continue to see that women can talk sports and debate on sports just like the men do. All right, let's turn back to your investigative reporting, because I think your background, again, is just so fascinating and so interesting. So I was watching one of your most recent videos, and it's something that I personally had gone through, and I will never do again, Lisa, and that was microblading. Now, I didn't get a spot section from mine, but it hurt so bad. And then I was left with, like, a lot of scars and bruises from it. So, I mean, just kind of go into, like, I mean, how are you able to kind of just do something like that on yourself, you know, and not kind of knowing what the outcomes will be, especially since you're in front of the camera? I mean, where do you get the courage for that?
Well, thank you for watching that, first of all. So because I've been on Inside Edition for so long, we started posting our Inside Edition investigations on YouTube a couple years ago. And my investigations are extremely popular on YouTube. And you can binge them all at the same time. And so we've got a ton of young viewers. And in fact, I had 120 million views last year on Inside Edition's YouTube channel, just watching my videos.
Wow, amazing.
So this year,
It's amazing, right? So this year I decided to launch my own YouTube channel where I'm doing kind of more long form and more personal investigations, where I put myself in harm's way, I guess, sometimes, especially like when you look at the, you know, microblading investigation, where I try products and try beauty procedures. And I'm taping myself doing it because women over their lifetime are going to spend about $250,000 on products and beauty procedures in their lifetime. And men, you're not off the hook because men spend about $120 to $140 million in their lifetime on beauty products, shampoos, colognes, that sort of thing. So we're all spending a ton of money on this stuff. So I'm just curious as to whether we're really getting our money's worth. So I do a bunch of product tests and I've started to post those. I'm also doing Q&As where I take questions from viewers and I answer them about sports or my investigations. I have a platform called Being Brave where I do keynote speaking around the country about, you know, how to be more courageous. I have 4 steps that help people to be a little bit more bold and brave in their career choices and in their personal lives. So I have a lot of things that I like to talk about, and I do art tutorials and cooking tutorials also on YouTube. So I'm a lot more than just doing investigations on Inside Edition, and I wanted to be able to expand on what I do in longer format videos. So if you haven't already subscribed to Lisa Guerrero TV, here's my shameless plug. Please come and subscribe to my videos because they're really a lot of fun. I have something for everybody, whether you're a sports fan or I have some comedy sketches and some Q&As. It's really fun.
Yes, I am a fan, so definitely subscribe. I can attest and personally say
thank you.
So much fun watching Lisa. And again, she does stuff on that. It's just interesting. And like you said, you probably will end up binge watching. So give yourself some time. You're going to get hooked and addicted. just hearing you talk about all of the different things that you do, which I'm still trying to figure out how you have enough time in the day. Tell me, how do you most want to be remembered when people look back on your life and career?
I want people to think that she was a risk taker. Here's somebody that you know, started out as an immigrant's daughter and a social worker's daughter. You know, we didn't have money. My mom didn't speak English. I am a first generation Latina American on my mom's side. And I just want people to realize that there are no limits in terms of your life. And I have never had limits for myself. And the more people say, she can't do that, the more I'll say, oh, yes, I can, and I'm going to prove you wrong. And even if I fail, and I have failed, and even if you get fired from a job, and I have been fired from jobs, it doesn't mean that you can't climb back on the horse and be far more successful than you ever even imagined. So I want people to hopefully look at my career someday and who I am and say, you know, she was brave, and she took risks, and she enjoyed her life to the fullest. And I do. I have a passion for living, and I'm so blessed and grateful, and I feel like that every day. I'm so blessed.
Wow. I love your spirit, Lisa. I can tell. This is why we're just getting along through this interview. Very positive vibes, and it's just great. It's awesome to be around. And like you said, it's just, I mean, you've been able to do and accomplish just so much, and that's why I'm so excited to have you on the show. Before we close, we have a couple more minutes. I want to get into the nitty-gritty and kind of the fun part. Tell me, Lisa, I know it's going to probably be a hard answer, but let's start with your sports reporting career. Tell me who was the best interview that you had and why.
Okay, for sports, I would say, it's a tie. It would be a tie between Barry Bonds. My first sit-down interview with him was really difficult. He was at a time in his career when he wasn't talking to the media. He had a very difficult relationship with the media. I was the first person to ask him on camera if he had done steroids. And his handlers, finally, we had negotiated for months the sit-down interview when I was with Fox Sports Net. And they said, you're going to get 10 minutes with him. And that 10 minutes turned into an hour and a half. And he cried. He talked about his parents. It was a really emotional breakthrough interview. So for me professionally, I thought, that was one of the most important interviews I'd had. And then later in my career on Monday Night Football, the last post-game interview I did was Brett Favre. After that amazing game he had against the Raiders where he threw 4 touchdowns in the first half, the day after his dad died. And many people thought he wasn't even going to start, much less have the incredible game that he played. And there was speculation before his dad died that he wouldn't be able to play because he had a broken thumb. And so at the very end of that game, when Al Michaels threw down to me, and I had Brett Favre by my side, I said, it's one thing to play with a broken thumb, and it's another thing altogether to play with a broken heart. How were you able to play this kind of a game today? And then he had this very emotional response. And his wife was with him, and people were crying in the booth, and people were crying at home. And it was just an amazing interview because it was an amazing performance by an amazing athlete.
Wow. Wow. And it's like, none of us will ever soon forget that performance. Still, I think right back to that. And switching over to the investigative reporter side, I know you've talked about this before, but the Justice for Juliet, I know, was something that hit near and dear for you. So kind of give background to that. And why was that story so important just for you as a journalist, but, you know, to the world?
So Justice for Juliet was a story that I had done a couple of years ago, and a woman actually reached out to me on social media, and I encourage your listeners to, if you have a story idea for an investigation or something that's happened to you, or you want to be a whistleblower, you can reach out to me on social media. So this woman reached out to me saying that her little niece, who was 2 years old, had been beaten to death in her crib 4 years before, and it had been a cold case. There were three adults in the house at the time, the mother, the mother's boyfriend, and the mother's boyfriend's friend. So one of those three people killed this little girl. But all three of them were allowed to leave the state. They never locked down the house as a crime scene. They were never interrogated separately, and they were able to all leave. So she was desperate, and she said, can you look into it? And I, you know, went to this small town in Nebraska. Law enforcement said, we can't get a hold of these people. They're all gone. Within 10 days, my team and I found all three of those adults. And then the mom on camera rolled over on the boyfriend and said that the boyfriend did it. And we confronted him. And between the aunt, who reached out to me, getting enough signatures for a grand jury to look into the case, and the pressure that our story on Inside Edition put on the law enforcement in that area, they were able to arrest him, and he is now serving 80 years to life in prison for the death of that beautiful little girl, Juliet Gertz. So, yes, you know, those are things that you just go to sleep at night going, you know, as much as I loved sports and as much as I loved, you know, being an actress, nothing can compete with the feeling that, you know, you as an investigative journalist, that you're shining a light on crime and you're helping victims. And in this case, we help to put somebody in prison that belongs there.
Yes. Yes. And those are so important. And that's why I want people to really see the work that you do. It's so much more. It's not for just the views and all that type of stuff, but you really helped a family that was grieving. And like you said, help put the bad guys away essentially, which is vital because I mean, that young, poor, innocent girl deserves justice, and you helped with that. Lisa, what's coming up next for you?
So this summer we are right now I'm on the road. We're shooting two different investigations this week in the South, and we are putting a bunch of investigations in the can for our new season in September for Inside Edition. Although I will be sprinkling in a couple of investigations through the end of summer, but we have our big push for the new season, which starts in September. I am posting new videos every week on my new YouTube channel, Lisa Guerrero TV. I have a huge, huge, very big announcement coming up about something that's completely out of left field, a very big project in Nashville, having to do with the world of country music, believe it or not. And my favorite band is The Clash. So I know nothing about the world of country music. And I have some really exciting, crazy news that's happening next month. So please follow me on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook and all that stuff, because I'm going to have some really big announcements coming up in the next couple of weeks. But as usual, I'm busy and I'm exploring new challenges and doing a bunch of new projects. I'm always watching sports. Go Rams. I'm a huge Rams fan. and Lakers and Dodgers. Yeah. You know, grew up in Southern California, but I keep my eye on sports. I love sports. I went to the past Super Bowl, and my heart will always be in sports, even though my body physically is chasing bad guys. But that's why I like to talk to sports fans, because I think they get it. Hopefully some of them remember me, and hopefully some of them will watch what I'm doing today too.
Yes, that, Lisa, we definitely remember. You're so humble and so modest. Yes, no one can ever forget the great work that you put in. And yes, the last Super Bowl that I was at, I was hoping you guys would pull it out against the Patriots. I know, so close. But the
brutal.
Lakers are promising. So hopefully
they
the Lakers
promising.
Will get you.
Fingers crossed. Fingers crossed.
So exciting. Well, Lisa, it was such a joy having you. Really quick, since you said you like country music, just curious, do you like Old Town Country Road? Are you a Lil Nas X fan and Billy Ray Cyrus fan?
I do. You know what? I love mashups like that. I love collaborations. So for me, and that's kind of what I have in store. So if you just follow me and watch what's going to happen in the next couple of weeks, you're probably not going to believe it. But yeah, it's kind of along those lines. Yep. Exactly.
Oh, I'm excited. Well, thank you so much for that. Lisa, thank you again so much for joining us. Before you leave, can you leave your social media info one more time for the viewers to follow you?
Okay, I'm at number four, Lisa Guerrero, LisaGuerrero. And I'm on at for Lisa Guerrero on both Twitter and Instagram. And you can also catch me on Facebook at Lisa Guerrero fan page. And of course on YouTube, Lisa Guerrero TV. And this was so much fun. You are a great host. You did your research,
you
asked great questions. I'm so proud of you. I can't wait to see where your career is going. You've got big things ahead.
It is a pleasure. Thank you so much. I really appreciate that. Thank you again so much for joining us, and I hope to have you on again soon in the future.
Absolutely. Let's do it.
All right, that's a wrap for this edition of Listen In with K&N. I hope you had fun, learned something, and of course, jumped in on the K&N bandwagon. Be sure to listen in each and every week for new shows that drop online at FoxSports1340AM.com and KelseyNicoleNelson.com. If that's not enough, the show is available for download on iTunes and Google Play. Be sure to subscribe, rate, and review. Your feedback and support truly do matter to me. Until next week, enjoy the sports world, smile, and don't take your fantasy sports too seriously, because there's always another play.